I'd like to turn to Psalm chapter 1 this morning. Psalm chapter 1, just to start us off this morning. Because Psalms is pretty much close to the center of your Bible. Psalms chapter 1. I'd like to read you a quote. This is by no means a full endorsement of the person that I reference, but it is nevertheless a very interesting an intriguing saying. Horace Greeley once said, "It is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible-reading people. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom." And I thought how true that is. One of the founding fathers of the United States made it clear that a republic and the Constitution they is set up is only built for a moral, for a God-fearing people, can only work in that context. And how true that is. But not just politically or socially or even morally, our freedoms and really everything that we appreciate in our world is really based upon the principles of God's Word. Also personally, I think we would be well advised in this upcoming year to take a fresh look at our precious Holy Bible. Abraham Lincoln, just to quote another person, said, "In regard to this great book," referring to the King James Bible, "I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare, here and hereafter, are to be found portrayed in it." That's a lot of fancy words to say. The Bible is fundamental, it's essential, amen, to who we are and to who we ought to be. And this morning, I want to encourage us as we look there in Psalm chapter 1, that the man or woman, for that matter, of God is blessed, or in other words, happy when we walk with the Word of God. It says in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Let's bow in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your revelation to us. And Lord, how easy it is to get used to the fact that we have the whole Bible in our hands. Lord, we live in a place where we've enjoyed freedom to own and to read and to preach publicly your word for so many years that we may think that is normal, which it certainly isn't. And Father, this morning, we once again want to remind ourselves and be grateful for your precious word. And Father, we pray that it would indeed be precious unto us, that we would love it, Lord, more than our daily food, as the psalmist says. And Lord, that we would truly nourish our hearts and our souls upon it each and every day. Father, we pray that you would teach us and encourage us from your word now, and help me to teach, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You don't need to raise your hand, but I do want to ask you and myself this morning, have you ever read through the whole Bible? At least one time. The whole Bible from start to finish. You see, the reality is, it's really shocking how many times I hear that the great majority of Christians that I meet have never read the whole Word of God. They've read parts of it. Many have spent a lot of time in the New Testament, particularly, but they've never really fully read it from start to finish as a whole. Interestingly enough, those are commonly also often the same people who are plagued by doubts and by questions, and who think, or sometimes on the other hand as well, that maybe they know it all already. They don't really need the Bible because, you know, they've listened to so many sermons, they've read so many books, or they watched so many YouTube videos. And again, nothing could be further from the truth. Just because you've read the entire Bible, by the way, does not mean that you know everything neither. Amen? That's just the beginning. That's just the basis. That's just when the learning begins. I've met individuals who've read through the entire Bible hundreds of times, yet every single time, they still learn some new things when they open it. And I think one of the best goals that you and I can set ourselves at the beginning of every new year, which of course starts tomorrow, is to read the Bible consistently and to read through the Bible entirely. Now, to be honest with you, in order to be successful in that, you and I need a plan. Those sort of things don't happen just by good intentions and a nice decision at the beginning of the year somehow. You know that with any of your intentions to do more exercise or to spend more time with the family or to get better sleep or to eat healthier, right? I remember when I was working in retail, one of the guys in the grocery aisles would always tell me that the yogurt and fruit sales would go through the roof in January and February, and by March it would taper off, and by April it was just low as always. And the sad part is, many times the same thing can happen with our spiritual intentions as well. Somebody once fittingly said, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And I think there's a lot of truth behind that. And we see in Psalm chapter 1 how the Christian who delights in the Word of God, in God's law, and meditates there upon the Word of God day and night, he's compared to a tree that is firmly rooted, that won't just be bent over back and forth by every wind that comes throughout the year. He is a Christian that will bring forth fruit in his season. He is a Christian that will not wither, but rather prosper in his relationship with the Lord. And so this morning, I want to encourage us to set the plan and to set the goal for this upcoming year to read through the Bible entirely. And so what we're going to plan to do throughout this next year as a church is to do that together. And we won't be able to take every single Sunday school hour for that because there are other things we have to teach on as well. But Lord willing, the plan for this upcoming year is to take at least a couple Sunday school lessons of each month to read through the Bible together. And we're going to be having a schedule together that we have on the bulletin as well as our email list. If you're not on there and you'd like to be on there, please let me know. Give me your email. We'll put you on there. But we want to kind of hold each other accountable. We want to encourage each other to go through the entire Bible together. You say, I'm not a good reader. Reading through the entire Bible? Whoa, in like 1 year? If I would do that in my whole life, that'd be a great accomplishment for me. Well, let me break it down. Three chapters a day. Three chapters a day. That's all it takes. I believe every single person in here, if you're able to read English, you're able to do that. Three chapters a day. And in 1 year and 1 month, you should have read through the entire Bible. Three chapters a day. Depending on the chapters, that can take you between less than 10 to maximum 20 minutes. You know, we spend probably more time than that on social media or in the bathroom or, you know, driving to work, to be honest. But we wouldn't have time, 10, 20 minutes time to feed our soul on a daily basis and to get the entire revelation of God to us from start to finish. You see, we always emphasize how important context is, amen, when we try to understand the Word of God. And it certainly is important. And so that is my next point, because many people say, well, even when I read the Bible and I set myself that goal, 3 chapters a day, and that's going to be our goal together as a church family, and that we hold each other accountable for reading 3 chapters a day of our Bible. And then at the end of the week, most Sunday schools, we want to take the time to either read part of those together or discuss the chapters that you've hopefully read, amen? Maybe answer questions or explain the Word of God a little bit more, just like Nehemiah and Ezra of old did. Reading is the first thing. But the second thing is that we need to consider what we read in the context, amen? That refers to the information around it, the historical background. That means we look within that chapter or maybe within the theme of a book, and we see how does this verse, how does this passage of Scripture fit into the bigger puzzle that God is revealing to me here. When we study our Bible, we need to evaluate each verse or each passage that we read within its historical and literary context. In other words, what did the human penman, the author that God used here, what did he write and to who? How does this all connect with what he's been saying before or with what he's about to say next? How does this fit into the context of the whole book? That will all help us to understand what we are reading better. The next thing that will help us to actually understand what we're reading is when we take it literal. When we take it literal. You see, even the Lord Jesus Christ already in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, he emphasized that a man does not live by bread alone, but what? But by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. Amen? And so we need to take God at his word, because every word matters as far as God is concerned. God's never just trying to fill up a page, amen? And so we need to take God literal. Now that seems like a revolutionary, almost extreme idea these days, but I still am old-fashioned to believe that God says what he means, and that he means what he says, amen? If you come to our church any length of time, you've hopefully got that memorized by now. I say it over and over again because it cannot be overemphasized, amen? God says what he means, and he means what he says. And that's why we need to take the Word of God at its literal sense. Because if we seek a sense beyond that, we'll usually find nonsense. Amen? And then next, I need to compare what I read with other scriptures. Compare scripture with scripture. In other words, let the Bible define the Bible. And that's when you will notice the consistency within God's Word. Folks, this key alone has probably been the biggest, revelation is the wrong word, but the biggest help for me personally in stopping to misunderstand the Bible and starting to understand it and interpret it within its biblical context, allowing the Bible to define the Bible. And you will consistently find that either the direct context or other verses of Scripture, let's say the Old Testament to the New and the New Testament to the Old, will often explain each other. And so if we just keep studying and we keep reading, sooner or later, God will explain what he's exactly referring to if we're having questions about it. But talking about questions, it's a good thing to ask God questions. It's a good thing to pray about what you're reading, amen? And it's a good thing to ask the Lord, Lord, speak to me through your word today. One thing that I really want to emphasize as we're reading, Lord willing, this next year through the entire Bible together as a church family, we're not just trying to do an accomplishment here. We're trying to actually be fed and glean something out of it. Amen? And so, you know what? If you get behind or if you get off track somewhere, that's not the end of the world, as long as you keep reading the Bible. And as long as you, you know, continue to read through it, start to finish, and get its entire context. I need to pray and ask the Lord to give me a proper understanding of His Word. I need to pray and ask the Lord for wisdom. Wisdom is not just knowing what to do. That would be understanding. Wisdom is furthermore also knowing how to do it. Amen? And that leads me to the application. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, would you teach me, how do I apply this now? Just knowing something from the Bible doesn't help us anything. One of my Bible calls teaches so fittingly often reminded us, this Bible is no good to you unless you live it. Just knowing the Bible doesn't help anybody. We need to be willing to see the principles and truths and commandments from the Word of God that He gives us and apply it to the 21st century. I need to be willing to ask the Lord to also go beyond just application. Application, when we focus just on application, there's a great danger there, folks. Because it can be, I can take any passage of Scripture and just make it about me. What does this mean for me? What does this mean for me? And we need to be careful that that does not become our only focus. Because first and foremost, every verse of Scripture is God's revelation to us, or it's He's revealing Himself. And so almost a question that I ought to ask before I ask, what does this mean to me? I ought to first ask myself, what does this teach me about my God, about my Savior? How does this help me understand Him better, know Him better? How does it help me understand His ways better? That's why, for example, we have so much history in our Bible, probably about a third of our Bible's history, so that we would understand the ways of our Lord better. I need to ask the Lord, how does this encourage my faith? That's why we have so many facts. That's why we have so many prophecies in our Bible. But another third of our Bible, approximately, are prophecies. And sometimes we struggle to connect with those. But folks, prophecy is first and foremost to teach us about the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also to encourage our faith for the future. Amen? As we see God being faithful in fulfilling His promises. And so as we pray throughout this year, as we read the Bible throughout this year, we need to pray for understanding as we begin to read and as we throughout our reading. I want to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, where in the New Testament at this time, we see once again, I think, an important principle that will help us in our Bible reading. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says there, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And then Paul reminds Timothy of the gift and the calling that he's been given by the Lord. And in verse 15, he goes on to say, meditate upon these things. And the context there is obviously the things he's been reading and the things he's supposed to study and to do. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that their profiting may appear to all. All Scripture is profitable. But oftentimes it doesn't become profitable to me because I'm just glancing through it. And I'm bored to death. I'm barely awake. I'm just doing my religious duty, grinning through my reading plan, and my heart or my mind aren't with it at all. And that's why prayer is so important. It gets me into the right mindset. before I start reading, but then also meditating upon the verses helps me to actually get something out of it and not just to do a check mark on my list. Meditating, the best illustration of that I've been able to come up with is kind of the idea of what a cow does when it lays on the pasture. And it chews and re-chews again and again the cut that it's been feeding. Amen? And so, in other words, we keep thinking and meditating upon the truths and the verses that we've been studying. Somebody once said, reading the Bible without meditating on it is like trying to eat without swallowing. It's like trying to eat without swallowing. So read the verses again, especially if you have some trouble understanding them. And maybe again. And then ask some questions about the text that you are reading and seek to answer those in your own words. And maybe look up in a dictionary any words that you're not familiar with. That will help you deepen your understanding. You know, so many people say, oh, I'd love to read my Bible. I tried reading my Bible, but I don't understand any of it. First of all, I don't believe that's true. I just really don't. If you have the Holy Spirit of God and if you have desire to read the Word of God, I guarantee you, you will get something out of it. That's why, matter of fact, why I know that whether you benefit anything from the preaching of the Word of God in this church is not dependent upon the preacher. It's really more dependent upon you. Because as so long as the Word of God is being opened, even if the preacher is most incapable and most boring, the fact of the matter is, if the Word of God is opened, you ought to get something out of it. If you're a hungry and a spirit-controlled Christian. Now, of course, the preaching ought to be led by God as well. But let me get back here to meditating upon the Word of God. Look up any words that you're familiar with. And so many people say, oh, I've tried reading it, but I don't understand it. Well, that's like me saying, well, I tried speaking Mandarin, but I don't understand it. You know, the only Mandarin that I know is the one I can buy in the grocery store. And forgive me, folks, amen. Or any other language, you know. I speak, or used to speak, at least three languages fluently. And, you know, guess what was the only way to learn it? Study, study, study. Work on it. Repeat, amen. Memorize, learn, practice, use it. The only way to understand more of the Bible is to read more of the Bible. It's really that simple, absolutely. And pray, amen. Even Daniel of old, one of the greatest of prophets, had some struggles sometimes understanding God's revelation. Guess what he did? He set his heart with prayer and fasting. He set everything else aside, and he said, you know what? I'm going to get into my prayer closet until God's given me an answer about this. I'm saying you have to cancel work and all that, you know, to understand a verse of Scripture, but what I am saying is we ought to have that kind of heart, that kind of a determined desire to say, Lord, I want you. I need you to feed me. You've spoken this love letter to me. And if I have trouble understanding the words or the verses, Lord, teach me, help me, amen? And you know what? If, in some case, you don't immediately get something out of it, just keep moving on. Read the next chapter, amen? There's this little story that's attributed to Luther he would have said, hey, if you don't understand something in the Bible, it's kind of like going through a fruit orchard, and you shake every tree, and some trees you have fruit coming down, you know, and others, there's not really very much coming down yet at all. And so you lift your head and you keep walking. And, you know, at your next round, when you come back around, maybe there's some fruit going to be ripe. And then you'll receive something off of it when you shake it again. But you don't give up on your Bible reading just because there's been some difficulty in understanding a certain passage. So I want to close by maybe encouraging us through some verses of Scripture. From Psalm chapter 19, in motivating us to really set our heart upon knowing the Word of God, knowing the entire Word of God. And folks, if the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in the rapture in 2024, which I personally believe is very likely, I want to have been able to read as much as possible of his word before that, amen? Especially if you've maybe never read through the entire Bible. Psalm chapter 19, there in verse 9, we read this. Psalm 19, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is, notice, great reward. But I can't be warned and I can't be rewarded by keeping the word of God if I don't know it, amen? or I only know fragments of it. The honey and the honeycomb would be like a sweet treat back in Israel. And so that is what the word of God is being compared to, not a drudgery, religious duty. And it all starts with the desire of the heart. And so maybe we need to start out and say, Lord, would you give me an increased desire? Would you give me an insatiable hunger for your word? Because I know that without your wisdom, without your word, I am nothing. You know, Psalm chapter 1 starts to first talk about rejecting the counsel of the ungodly and not sitting among them, right? And then instead, rather listening to the counsel and the wisdom of God's word. And folks, the fact of the matter is we're spending hundreds of hours every week, whether it be at work or, you know, online or wherever we are, we're being exposed, we're being indoctrinated with the philosophies, the attitudes, the desires of the world that is idolatrous, that is worshiping the sinful, carnal desires of the flesh that bring corruption and death, and that it rejects God. And so God, help us to at least have a few hours, or at least 20, 30 minutes a day, amen, where we open up our mind and our hearts to the heavenly manna and to the washing of water by the word, to be cleansed from all the dust and filth of the world, and to have our minds renewed by his truth, amen, and learn how to identify the lies that we pick up from the world and to reject them and replace them with God's truth, as Romans chapter 12 teaches us. If we don't start reading the Word of God from cover to cover this year, like, then when? If not now, then when? Might as well start today, amen? The Lord may come back before the end of the year, and so we might as well get going, amen? If you turn over to Psalm 119, verse 126. Psalm 119, verse 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Almost every week I have people sharing some news with me and people complaining about the news and being concerned about the news, and sometimes rightly so, because, I mean, after all, we are living in a spiritual warfare, and we do see the spirit of Antichrist rising more and more without question. But they're like, oh, they've made void God's law. It's time for God to work again. And the Lord instructs us how we can get that going, how we can get the Lord to work again. He says in Psalm 119, verse 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. In other words, in order for us to see God work again in this world, in order for us to resist and to stand up against this world, rejecting and making void God's law, discounting it, you and I, as God's people, will have to be at least the ones who take it serious, amen, and who take time for it. Fill your mind with God's word and you will have no room for Satan's lies. Fill your mind with God's word and you will have no room for Satan's lies. And so I pray and hope that helps us a little bit to get focused and motivated, because, you know, just like every other good intention, you know, like exercise or whatever, you start out and then, oh, you know, you get sore muscles. You're like, oh, yeah, never mind. I'll do it next week, you know. And we peter out very, very fast. And so that's why I pray and hope that it will help us to keep each other accountable, to encourage each other, to come each Sunday in Sunday school and talk about what you've read throughout the week in your three chapters a day. And you know what? If you don't get the time for that in the morning, well, then do it on your lunch break. If you can't do it on your lunch break for whatever reason, then do it at night when you get home, before or after supper, or, you know, at least before you go to bed for night. But folks, I want to encourage us to read the Word of God entirely from cover to cover together this year and 1 month. And if you want to do that on your personal pace, there is many, many different Bible reading plans that help you to be on track, that encourage you. There, we have a number of them laying out there in the back. I've added a few new ones as well, and so if there's just a copy left, you can, you know, maybe snap a picture with your phone or just let me know and I'll make more copies for you. But if you know, 1 year, 1 month is too fast for you, we got a 2 year Bible reading plan there. We got the Navigators Bible reading plan, which is kind of focused on a range of different passages from Old and New Testament, and on kind of like 5 minutes, kind of a reading. We have a chronological plan that I'm going to send you a link to in your email, because it's a bit too much to print out, amen, for everybody. And then we have a Bible reading plan in a year that has about three chapters each day. And so I'll get that out to you as well digitally. Then we also have, whether it be for children or teenagers or adults, these little booklets, these little Bible study devotional guides are really, really great. And we have many more yet that we're going to lay out as well and encourage you to get whatever you need to do to get in the Word of God and to stay in the Word of God on a daily basis, folks. All the good intentions and all the good decisions at the beginning of the year won't help much unless we put them into practice, amen? And so, as I was praying and preparing for this next year, and I really felt that the Lord wanted us to do this together as a Sunday school, to read through the Bible together and encourage one another, get together and share what the Lord's spoken to us and what He's taught us through these chapters each day. And, you know, there may be some questions that you want to discuss together. And I pray, my desire is that will, the more we do that, the more that will increase your desire and your hunger to keep reading more as well. Amen. And so let's join together on that and see what the Lord does in our midst. Amen. Maybe that He would revive His work in the midst of these last days once again. Amen. And prepare us for His coming, because surely He is coming soon. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we want to thank You so much, Lord, for Your word. And Lord, I don't think there's a single Christian here this morning that wouldn't say, you know what, no matter how many or a few times I've read the Bible, I really should read it again, and I really should read it more. And I should desire it, I should devour it, I should meditate on it and read it in its entirety and in its context. And Father, I pray that You would really encourage us and really help us with that this upcoming year. And Lord, if You tarry Your coming, we pray that You would use that reading of Your word to prepare us, Lord, for whenever You do take us to be with You. And Lord, we ask You to bless the service in the next hour to come, Lord, in Jesus' name.